Thank you so much, my brother, for this beautiful reading of God's Word. For the last three Sundays, we have been involved in a series of sermons that I have entitled Home Improvement. And you all know, if you have a house and you change a door or you change a window or you put a new patio or new floors, how serious is home improvement and how tedious and never ending. Is that right? Never you get the job done. And so I have touched the foundation of the family on the first sermon. We move on the development of the family together. And I want to complete this with a family talk this morning. Raising children is the most difficult task a father and a mother can have in their life. And for children, your most difficult task is to know how to interpret your parents and how to work with them. And I'm glad our church is like the United Nations. We have people from every race and every situation, and families have traditions and the way they grow up. And so we all have difficulties as children because our parents do not understand us, as I used to say when I was young. And I was the talker of the family. So my brother was quiet and so on, but I was the only one who have an argument with my mother until she straightened me up quickly. Some may wonder why we should spend time together studying a subject like this. But when you are on the air with 7,000 people listening, and later on this, somebody would not like to hear something like this. I do understand. But I think the reason is very clear. And I understand the objections. There's more than one email that I received while talking about the family. And after 8 years of an administration that destroyed the family, I understand why people try to question why talking about the family. But I want to say a few things before we go into the scripture. In the beginning, God established the family, not the government, nor anybody else. God established the family as the first of all human relationships. The first was the family. From that family, God built society. Nothing has changed. I want people to know. From that time of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, nothing has changed. We may prosper. We may fly to the moon and come back. We may do all kinds of things. But family has been established by God, and nothing has changed. The family is still the foundational unity of the entire society. In fact, I want to say this: no church, no community, or no nation is any stronger than the family that make them up. And that is important. If that is true, then each of us should redouble our efforts to ensure that our families are correct, that our families are what God wants them to be. Husband and wife have a God-given obligation to love one another and to submit to one another for the glory of God. Parents have a given obligation to create a home that allows their children to become all they have been designed by the Lord to be. That there is something that I remember from my mother that he overheard talking. Say, I wonder what this boy is going to be when grow up. Will he be like his uncles that were we're all professionals. What he will be? We should redouble our efforts to ensure that our families really are what God wants us to be. Today, I want to consider the verses we have read and learn from them the lesson God has for our families. As I read the passage, and I read the passage over and over and over many times myself, I thought the topic is growing up together, because the first three verses talk about children. And the last verse, verse 4, that's the little paragraph, talks about the responsibilities of the parents. So the scripture is fair. Some of the young people sometimes when they talk to me, they say, well, my mom is not fair and my father is not fair. No one of us is fair. We made mistakes. But I want you to show that there is a great lesson for us. I believe that the passage before us offer help in the matters of parenting and also on the matters of growing from childhood into adulthood. All right? Let us consider there is a dual message that God offered in verse 1 to 4. And I want to talk to you about growing up together, so growing up as parents and growing up as children, and a very responsible matter. So because it's dual, the passages have two divisions. Verses 1 to 3 talks about the sons and daughters' responsibility. Verses 1 to 3. And secondly, verse 4 has a message for the parents. When to work in the scripture, it's very easy. It's in one section of the scripture. I may use a few more scriptures later on to illustrate the mistakes that we parents make. I reserve that. I want you young people to know that we make mistakes. And it's right here in the Bible. Sometimes we overlook, sometimes unconsciously, sometimes because of the pressures of life. No excuses. There are mistakes. And I want to show it. I want to be very fair to both sections so that we get a great lesson before God and for our own knowledge. So number one, there is a word for sons and daughters. There is a word of God for them. And it's in verses 1 to 3. There are four words, actually. The first one is a very clear word. I don't know how we children, when we were children, were mistaken when we read it. It is a very clear word. Use the King James because I don't want that word to be changed. It's a very important word, all right? He said, children, look at Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents. The word obey means submit, means to comply with, means to follow direction. Very simple, all right? You go to the dictionary and you find the definition. Children, according to the scripture, are to obey their parents. That means are to submit their parents, are to comply with their directions. And each parent has different directions. And if you belong to that family, God gives you no choice. You cannot compare with family so-and-so and family so-and-so. Whatever your father and your mother said, you need to obey them. It's just very, very clear. Children are to obey their parents. This word, as I said, means to submit, to comply with, to heed, to follow directions and instruction. It can literally means to hear under. I don't know how many of you were in the Army or Navy, and you march, and your sergeant's on the side, and he said one word that you are attempted to hear in training. Remember the word? Conversion. And you stop with the left foot, and you put your rifle on the side, and you move. No argument. If the sergeant, as you are marching, say conversion, you don't say, well, I don't know if that's right or wrong at this moment. Okay, that's the word used, a military word. So let me put that in a simple English. When the Bible said, children, obey your parents, this is a command, not a suggestion. All right? It is a command, not a suggestion. This means that a child is to listen to the voice of his parents or her parents attentively, and they are to respond to what they hear with perfect submission. In a nutshell, they are to do as they are told. That would be plain English. No argument, no other excuses. You don't become mentally irritated. You do not become psychologically defeated for life. No, this is what God wants you to do. It's prudent. Why? Because as a child learn to obey their parents, they are setting the stage for obedience through their life. They are learning respect for authority. You don't learn it in the school, you don't learn it in the army or navy or whatever, you learn it in the home. Whether you like it or not, that's God's plan. And they are learning to obey the voice of other authorities later on. If a child obeys their parents, then they are good students at the school, they will be good government employees, that will become part of their lives later on. Ultimately, children are learning to walk in obedience to the Lord when they walk in obedience to their parents. The first obedience that the Lord put in front of us is when we are children. Children, obey your parents. Doesn't look so difficult, no? But it's hard to do. So there is a clear word. Number one, God speaks about your actions. Number two, he speaks about your attitude. Look at verse 2. And verse 2 said, honor your father and mother. Sometimes we read too fast the scripture. All right? Honor means to respect, to revere, to hold in high regard. I taught at school, and I taught in high school, and I taught in university. And you know this, when the students hold you in high regard or not. You walk in the room and people keep talking. But even on first grade, I taught first grade. When you go to seminary, you do all kinds of things to help yourself. You walk in the room and they were silent because they like you, they respect you, they honor you. Amazing. So honor your parents. This is speak about a child attitude toward what is his parents tell him to do. You honor your parents. You maybe like or don't like what they said, but you honor them by doing what they said. You honor them. Children should have great respect for their parents. They should be careful not to backtalk to their parents. Remember when my daughter, no exception to anybody, now she's a woman, is a grandma. But when she was young, I taught her not to say why. I have a granddaughter who said why 200 times a minute. I pray for her husband. My daughter learned quickly, and it was very easy. I never had such a, never trouble. We were companions. We were in an amazing way. She never said why. She did it. Whatever I promised her, I did. I respected highly. Her room was her private place. But she never questioned Mama or Papa when we say something. She maybe liked it or not. I never knew that. My granddaughters, I can know, but not my daughter. They should never run their parents down to their friends. You know that, young people? You never talk about your parents to your friend. Oh, my dad is, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my mom, blah, blah, blah. You should not do that. Ever, because you honor. You don't talk back about your country. You don't talk about anything else. You respect it. You have to be in that way. They should respect their parents just as they would the Lord. Even after they have grown up and married. We visit our parents. We live only 30, 30 miles, but it took about 2 hours to drive the 30 miles. And my daddy has all kinds of suggestions and arguments with my beloved wife. And my mother has all kinds of suggestions, and we listen to them. And we listen to them. We don't argue with them. We listen. That is the function. So there is a clear word in it that he said, obey your parents. Then there is a conditional word. All right? And there is a conditional word, and it's in verse 1. Notice the phrase, what they say in verse 1. And it's very, very important. Children, obey your parents. Where? How? What is the rules? According to Americans, according to Italians, according to Chinese. No, in the Lord. Is God clever? We come from different cities. And parents, children are raised in one way in Japan, another way in China, another way in Korea, another way in Italy, another way in Germany. But the Lord is clever. I thought the Lord was really clever when he put that word there. While a child is told to obey his parents, that obedience is conditioned by the behavior of their parents. Look at that. God has a security clause for you. When the command of a parent contradicts the clear teaching of the Bible, the child, just like anyone else, has the obligation to put the Lord first. Amazing. Of course, this truth runs through every area of our life. No parent, no spouse, no authority figure in our lives has the right to command us to do something illegal, immoral, or that contradicts the Word of God. All right? I have been asked in the past administration of power, if somebody comes to my office to get married, two men or two women, what I will do? Very simple. I would say, number one, I cannot do it. The Bible said that a man and a wife marry. He said, well, the law of the land. I care less about the law of the land. This is the law in the church. See? Don't ask me in the coffee shop, because over there is different. But when I'm in my office in the church, that's, and you read the Constitution, that's a hallowed place. Whatever that institution holds, and I hope this keeps being the law, is the law. So we are to always place God and his will ahead of the will of others. That's what it is. You do the will of God. No husband can ask to do to the wife anything that God doesn't say. Don't wife ask the husband whatever she wants that is not in the Bible. Everything has to be under the control of word. So it is a conditional word. Children, obey your parents, but according to the Lord. So what a safety. What a safety for all children. Only there is a clear word, obey, and only there is a conditional word in the Lord. But also, in verse 2 and in verse 3, there is a clarifying word. Let me read it. Verse 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So there is a clarifying word. We are told in verse 2, and in verse 3, that obeying one's parents bring God's promise a blessing upon the child. Look at verse 3. You may live long on the earth. All right? When a child honors his parents, he is honoring God. That's why the reward is. When a child honors his parents, he is honoring God. That is important. He's in such a move that God is pleased with him. And God always bless those who honor and obey God. And you can tell me, many of you can say, yes, Pastor, I we were doing this, we were praying about this, and God bless us here out of the blue. Sometimes the blessing comes long after we pray. Sometimes out of the blue, it comes into your life. It is amazing. God's promise to obedient children is that they will enjoy improved quality of life. Look at verse 3. He said, that it may be well with you. That is improving your quality of life. God will improve your quality of life. And you may live long on this earth. The Bible is very clear in this verse. The Lord will bless that child who honor his parents. The Lord, not the police, not the government. The Lord will bless that child that honors his parent. So it's a very serious. And one more point in this. There is a clear word that God has for sons and daughters. There is a conditional word that's in the Lord. That's your safety ground. And there is a clarifying word. God will improve your life. By the way, God said, as you do this, as you obey your parents, as you follow his instructions, whether you like it or not, I'm going to improve your life. Wow. Amazing. But also, it is a challenging word. Look again in verse 1, at the very end. It said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because this is right. And the Greek word over there is the word righteousness, to be right with God. The statement reveals to the child why he or she should obey and honor his parents. When a child honor and obey his parents, he is doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. In other words, you are doing something that God is pleased with. You see, children are not to obey and honor so that they might please their parents. That's not the target. They are to do so because it pleases the Lord. That changed the whole future for you. Oh, my father said this 100 times. Well, the Lord said this 100 times, do it. That changed the whole, to me, that will change my perspective. If I get upset for something my parents want me to do, when I know that if I do it, I please God, that changed the whole perspective. And that makes me to do it without any regret. You are to do this not in an effort to please the folks, but in an effort to please your heavenly Father. And that's what we all want to do, no? We all want to do God. We all want to please God. And so God gave us some outlines here how to do it. From child. And we need to teach the little children just to do so. So there is a word, and I spent about 20 minutes for children. Don't worry, I get the parents now. But it's so important. Sometimes we miss it, all right? Obey is the first word. I like it. No choice. In the Lord, that's your safety clause. All right? Then there's a clarifying word. God, by the way, is going to improve your life. And then there is a challenging word. Don't do it just to please your daddy, just to please your mommy. Do it just to please God. That changed the whole perspective whatsoever. All right? Now, parents, hold your seats. Now comes a good one. There is a word for parents, and we all need it, include this pastor who is speaking. The word father over there, just a clarification, refer to both parents in the context. Doesn't mean male, the father. And Paul now turns his attention from the children to the parents in verse 4. Look at what verse 4 said. Amazing, no? He gave us an instruction from the children, and now parents, all right? And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. First, there is a cautioning word in verse 4. We are told to provoke not your children. You see that verse 4? And you, father, do not provoke your children. So that's a cautioning word. So I thought to myself, wait a minute, I need to really ponder in this. How does a parent provoke a child to wrath? And I look in the book of Proverbs, our famous book of counsel, and other counsel of the Bible, and there are many ways that we provoke our children to wrath. And I am going to mention some of them there. And it's listed in the outline, but I want to mention some of them. Now, the first thing that provokes a child is speaking to your children in a harsh, degrading, or disrespectful way. Believe me, among Spanish people, it's very common. I don't know other races, because I don't know bro. You know. My home was not like that. Raquel's home was holy of holies. You know, you sit down with your suit, looking in your chair, your girlfriend is over there, you don't touch it, don't look at it. That was holy of holies. And mama was across the east, and daddy was here on the side. All right? That's the way we grew up for 7 years. I enjoy it. Was not dating, was visiting. They clarified to me, you are visiting our home, and our home is open. They came to my home, and they told my parents, your son is welcome. We know an uncle that was a preacher, and we want your son to visit us. So I was not monkeying around, all right? I was scared when I was there, all right, to honor my parents. Because now they spoke to my parents, and my parents represented it. I was 18. Thank God they put that in my head. I'm representing my father and what I do here. So I'm going to honor this little girl. And I had to sit down in a chair, and she played the piano. Whatever. I don't want to get in trouble. All right. A cautioning word. Do not provoke your child. Number one, speaking to your children in a harsh and degrading and respectful way. Look in your Bible, Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Look at what the Bible talks about talking to one another. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. We as parents need to be careful about that. This is what the scripture said in Proverbs 15, 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You see that? A harsh word is steep up anger. You're going to get back that. Period. All right? So speaking to your children in a harsh and degrading and disrespectful way is provoking your children. Number two, refusing to listen to your children. I watch my granddaughter now being mama, and I watch it carefully. They weren't home, so I sit down on the sofa and I say, I want to learn from them. See how, and the little ones, you know how they are. They talk and this, and the little Taylor Nicole is Spanish blood, so talk the whole day, you know. And sometimes Emma is doing, I saw Emma, he cooks so good. I want her to cook eggs for me. Oh, she learned to cook so well. So I say, Emma, and then she comes around and grab her, and I watch it. And Emma stopped everything she's doing, shut off, and said, okay, let's talk together for a minute, and then Mama is going to give you later on more time to talk. And I cry, because that child knows that there is a respect and there is greatness. All right? Refusing to listen to your children. I remember James. You can look in James 1 and in verse 19 in your Bible. There is a very counsel of the Word of God in James 1 and in verse 19. You know it by memory. It said, so then, my beloved, said the scripture, brethren, let every man be swift to hear. The easy way to change those is quick to listen. And slow to speak, slow to write, quick to listen. That's the first exhortation. And you cannot put away your children. You cannot disregard your children's attention. And we need to learn that, how to handle that. So speaking to your children's hearts is one way that we provoke them. Refusing to listen to your children is another way. A lack of discipline. That's also, I don't know in other races, but in Spanish, it's super high. And I know this. You go to a restaurant, and it irritates me. If there are three or four Spanish families with children, they are running the whole restaurant. Stop it, or anybody. And I look to the children, and I see the Americans and the other looking like this, and the parent talking like nothing happened, because that's happening home. So you go to a restaurant, happen again. It's one time I was so irritated, I grabbed a child like this and sit down, said, quick, this child. And the guy looked at me because that was irritating. The police came later on. They call it. I'm glad I have my doctor license. So this is for safety, I said. You had to be fast. But irritate, no? Lack of discipline. All right? Look at Proverbs 22, 15. In Proverbs 22, and in verse 15, you get help. Foolishness, said the Bible, is bound up in the heart of a child. Remember that. Foolishness. The first thing, when we are children, we're just fools. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. What the Bible said, the rod of correction, doesn't mean a rod like this in the head, means the rod of correction rules. The Bible is a rule. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. So you use your Bible to your children. And you said, I never spanked my daughter, but I spent time with the Bible. Said, now look at what the Bible said here. Look what the Bible said here. To the point that one time she got the Bible, I did something wrong. She said, look at the Bible say here. And so I told her too fast. All right? So here we have, speaking to your children in a harsh way, refusing to listen to your children, physical abuse. Physical abuse is also provoking your children. Remember how God corrects us in Hebrews 12, and in verse 6, the Bible tells us how God corrects us. And in Hebrews 12, and in verse 6, the Bible said, for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He disciplines. All right? Really is courage, put strong thought on every son who he received. In other words, everyone he receives as a child of God, God is going to discipline, but not in excess. Another thing that we do as parents is refusing to humble yourself before your children. Have you said, sorry, I'm wrong? No, that's the exhortation in Matthew 18. Remember in verse 15, I know it's in the environment of a church, but in Matthew 18, 15, the Bible said, moreover, if a brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him. In other words, you can sit down with the child and say, you know, mama said this, but I was wrong. You don't know how blessed that child will be when something happens. Now, also, there is a counseling word. We just consider the negative sides. I want to consider the positive sides. Parents are to enrich their children. We are to bring them up. This phrase has the idea of nourishing them to maturity. Right here in Ephesians 6 and in verse 4, they say, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up. Bring them up. We are to tend to them like we will tender to a plant. That's for me, because I am crazy about plants. It was raining the other day. It was late. It was 1 o'clock, and I forgot. One of my plants is in the wrong side of the patio, and the rain was coming like this. I measured, oh, the rain is going to hurt these leaves and these leaves. So I went out. So my wife said, what do you do? I put the rock, went out and moved the plant just 30 degrees so the rain will lift up the leaves. And the next morning, those leaves were up. And I said, God, I'm a champion. No, he is a champion. All right. See, the Bible is very, very clear at least. As the parents are to enrich their children, we are to tend them like we will tend to the plant. I say it again. We are to help them reach their fullest potential in the Lord. We are to help them be all they can be. Not what you want to be, but what they can be. Secondly, parents are to educate their children. You see the word training here in verse 4? And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them in the training and admonition of the Lord. The word training has the idea of the whole education of a child. It refers to the daily discipline of verbal instruction in the ways of life and in the ways of the Lord. We are to see to it that our children are learning all they need while they are under our care. You are the responsible, not the school. You are the responsible. Then when they leave the nets and enter the world, they will be prepared for the things they will face. Now, there is a word here that maybe is mistaken. Maybe is misunderstood. You see, the last word is a training, and this is the last word, admonition. Okay, that word admonition means counsel in the original language. It means encouragement, means discipline. A child of yours is looking for a job and cannot find a job. You just encourage that child to look another way, or to go with a child maybe to look for that job. A child has failed an exam. You sit down with a child, like my mother did many times, and I drink what is called in Argentina mate. Mate is a very heavy tea. And you put it in a container and they put a straw and you do like this. And for hours, my mother would spend 3-4 hours beside me in the night. That's what I'm a night person. She will, at 2 o'clock, I will get up and study, and she will be just beside me with a little container of hot water, giving me this mate, this tea, until I finish my study. It is a great moment. It is a great moment. I remember when the day before marriage, they asked my wife, she said, "Will you do this for your husband?" "No," she said. "Oh." Parents are to encourage your children, all right? Counsel. And parents are to evangelize their children. All this nurture and admonition is to be of the Lord. You see, I really love the last words on verse 4. You do all of these, and then for what purpose? Of the Lord. So that your children finally, they will know God as their Savior. It's heavy, don't we? It's a heavy thing. Young people, you heard me today and you said, "Wow, that's loaded." Parents, you hear me today and you say, "Wow, what is this? Is any help for this?" I want to leave you with a word of encouragement. It is found in the last verse of the resurrection chapter on 1 Corinthians 15. That 1558, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, that verse have helped me so much in my life when I'm depressed or when I see failures here and failures there. After teaching about the resurrection, there is something in that text that encouraged me to pick up the pieces the very next morning. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast," keep on doing, "immovable," don't change your plans, "always abounding on the work of the Lord." You're always saying, "I know I'm doing what God said and things go wrong, but I'm going to keep on doing what God said. Knowing," said the Bible, "that the trial, that your labor," knowing that your labor is not in vain. Now, I don't say that. A psychiatrist does not say that. God say that. So my brother and my sister, just keep on. Don't give up. We are a family, and we suffer hard as a family one time in life. Hard. But we do not give up. But the key of the success of my granddaughter Emma, now the chief on the emergency room of the General Hospital in Portland, in the evening section, the key of that success was my daughter. She called me privately and said, "Dad, we will not surrender to success. We will pray and we will make of this something good for God. Fly in. I want you to visit with the boy alone. Dad, the only purpose is to make this a glorious event for God." Took about 2 years. 2 years. I thank God, my good son-in-law, who accepted my daughter's suggestion. And today we enjoy like crazy the relationship. Don't give up. Children, your parents fail, don't give up. Just do your part. Don't judge your parents. Parents, to your power. Don't judge your children. Glue together, and God will be honored. Thank you, Father, for the great exhortation of the Bible. Thank you for the details that you gave us in four little verses. We can see that this is your word. Yes, we can see that this is your word. So God, help us to be patient, to be kind, to be able to say, God, your way be honored. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.